Thank you, Andrew. I hope by now you'll see, and we get to it, the theme tonight, God is able, amen? I was going to preach on the subject, eat more chicken. I couldn't find a text for that. There's not much in Strong's Concordance, so I changed my mind about that. Thank God for Chick-fil-A and the stance and what happened today. I got a little worried in the office before I came up here. I looked down at my freckles, and a few feathers were coming up off there. I laughed at that, and it sounded like a cackle, and so I'm a little nervous. But I understand I had a great day. People lined up and all that. It was so good. Coming up 35, I saw two skinny black and white chickens holding up signs, eat more beef. So they've had a good day. Excuse my humor. It gets me going, amen, to do that. But with all that said, I don't want to lay an egg tonight, so stay with me if you would, please. How many brought your Bible tonight? Don't take it for granted, folks. Don't take it for granted when the preacher says, open your Bible. Amen? Bible's precious to me. The older I get, the more precious it becomes to me. And I hope that can be said by you. I get personal a little bit by way of introduction. A week ago today, I had one of these tests. By the way, I'm finding out the tests they give you are worse than whatever you got. Amen? And I was trying to act real brave in front of my wife, and I succeeded. They finally wheeled me up to where I was going to have these tests. I'm doing real good. Till I saw the needle that they're going to put in me. And suddenly I had to start claiming the Word of God. It'll be 21 years ago this October when my daughter Rebecca, some of you remember, had a terrible accident. She wound up over at Parkland and was going in for surgery. And she said, Daddy, I need a verse. And I was in the hallway, and God's good. He gave me a verse, Psalm 56:3. What time I am, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. 10 words. And that verse came back to me. And I said, and the doc said, now when you get in this machine, you be thinking about something because I don't want you jumping or anything like that. He didn't know my nature, did he? But I got in there and I claimed that verse, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen? Hopefully I'll mature a little bit when I have the next one, because in Isaiah 12:2, the Bible says, I will trust in him and not be afraid. Amen? That's a little bit better situation. I was under the impression that when I got older, I wouldn't have any headaches or heartaches or physical problems. That old boy talked about the golden years. I don't think he lived long enough to understand that. And more the rust years. I've been wrong. And without going into any detail, some of the difficulties with health and family situations, I've had to get a hold of the Word of God again, and the Word of God has to get a hold of me. And I want to give you that verse and use it as a basis for a message tonight. If you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3, please, 2, please. Ephesians, make it 3. I'll get it right in a moment. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 is actually the end of a prayer of Paul. You look in verse 14, Ephesians 3, verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's praying for us as Christians. He prays, verse 16, that we'd be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He prays in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Amen. He prays for us in verse 18, we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. In verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And he comes to the end of that prayer, and it's like a doxology, a benediction. Now unto him that is able, there's our word tonight, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. My problems, and Satan will come along and buffet me with headache and heartache, and every time that comes, I'm quoting this verse. I'm quoting this verse. Let me give you some help tonight. Because I've got to realize that from my little finite mind and seeing what the situations are, I can't change them other than by prayer and trusting God to do it. And He's going to do it, what? Exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. By the way, my asking gets lacking sometimes and my thinking gets stinking, so I'm glad He's the one that does it. Amen. The question tonight, and I've asked it several times when I've preached, is how big is your God? I like to bring Him right down here, don't we? How big is your God? A.W. Tozer years ago wrote this in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy. He said this: the low view of God entertained almost universally among Christians is the cause of 100 less evils everywhere among us. And if that was true 30 and 40 years ago, I'd hate to know what it is today. Amen. And he said this: if we would bring back spiritual power to our lives, we must begin to think of God more nearly as He is. Let that sink in. And I hope tonight that we can see God more clearly as He is through the Word of God. Well, the questions ask, what is God able to do? It's a good question. Can I say number one? Turn to Hebrews chapter 7, by the way, while we get to that point. Hebrews chapter 7. I'm happy to tell you tonight that God is able to save us. Now, I know we get a Wednesday night crowd, but there might be somebody that came in and doesn't know the Lord. And I would invite you to Christ as we look at these verses. But I don't know about you, but I'm excited because God saved me. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. By the way, the book of Hebrews, wonderful book. Everything's better with the Lord. Better covenant, better testament, better than the angels, better than Moses. It's the theme of the book. But we come down, he's talking about Christ after the order of Melchizedek, a king and a priest. And verse 24 says, but this man, by the way, he was man. Much man as he's never God, much God as he's never man. We understand that. Because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25. Wherefore he is what, class? Able also to what? Save them to the uttermost. Somebody has well said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. That come unto God by him. And by the way, here's a little bonus. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Aren't you glad God didn't just save us and say, okay, you're on your own. Not going to leave you any grace to live by. Not going to give you any word. God didn't do that. God's able to save us. By the way, God can save anybody. And my short testimony, it's a little different than a lot of fellows. We look at people that are drunks or prostitutes and that. And I'm happy to tell you, God's grace can save that. I was a good little boy. What's that old saying? Didn't smoke, didn't chew, didn't run around with those that do. I was good in my own eyes. I got that from my daddy. He was a good man. But I learned when I heard preaching of the gospel that good doesn't get it, does it? And folks, what am I trying to say? It took as much grace to save me as it did the down and outer. And we ought to get excited about that. Psalm 40 and verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. God's able to say, by the way, I may tremble on the rock, but the rock never trembles under me. By the way, I don't know what the future holds, but bless God, I know who holds the future. Amen. How's God save us? I'm glad you asked. Turn over to James. Just keep going about one book over. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 verse 21. How does he save us? I think that's a good question. Verse 21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." That just means get rid of all the bad things. Amen? "And receive with meekness." By the way, we come as a little child. Amen? See, with meekness, the engrafted word. That's the implanted word. That's the word of God, which is what? Tell me again, class. Able to save your souls. You know how I got saved? February 1965, Dayton, Ohio. Go Buckeyes, huh? I told you I was a good boy. I thought, man, I just graduated from Ohio University. I'm not bragging about that. Got my teaching degree. Just got fixing to get married. Peggy was making up her mind, flipping coins. And I walked in one day and I heard the gospel and I heard, you know, I'm not such a good guy after all. And the Holy Spirit gripped my heart. And I realized it's the preaching of the Word of God that got me saved. And I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again, folks. If it ever happens in this church, and as long as I'm alive, the pastor's alive, the prominent, preeminent thing in this church and any church ought to be the preaching of the Word of God. By the foolishness of preaching, drama may have its place. Music has its place. Thank God. Thank you, Andrew, for singing these songs for me. But Andrew knows, and he's been taught, that music, good music, is to honor the Lord and is to prepare the heart for preaching. And I thank God in February I received Jesus Christ. By the way, Hebrews talks about when we hear the word. You ever wonder when a group of people hear the word of God, some receive Christ and some don't? What's the difference? Number one, in Hebrews, talks about they have to hear it mixed with faith. Preacher preached on that Sunday. For by grace are we saved. What's the vehicle? Through faith. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul speaks about they did not receive the preaching as the word of man, but as its truth, as it being the word of God. God is able to save us. Number two, quickly, I got more good news for you. God's able to keep us. Turn to 1 Timothy, I believe it is. If it didn't, we'll go to 2 Timothy. We'll figure it out here. Go back a little ways. Chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1. By the way, this is my favorite verse in the Bible. I have a lot of things I want to put on my tombstone. Cars, kids, and women, cause of death. Peggy, I told you I was sick. And then I want this verse. Now you can abbreviate because I know it costs a lot of money. Amen? But read it with me. "For the which cause," Paul says, "I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Paul said that several times. Not ashamed of the gospel preaching. Now watch this. Watch what he says. "For I know whom." He didn't say, "I know when." He didn't say, "I know why." He didn't say, "I know what." He didn't say, "I know where." He said, "I know whom." A personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. "For I know whom I have believed." Now watch it. "And am persuaded." What are you persuaded about? What do you believe, Paul? "That he is," what's the word, class? "Able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Oh, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know, Baptists, I'm a Baptist by conviction. I'm a Christian first, but I'll tell you one reason why I'm a Baptist. I believe in eternal security. I believe once saved, always saved. How in the world can you serve God or do any good if one day you're not saved and the next day you are saved? I've seen these bumper stickers. I found it. I lost it. I don't know where it's at. Sounds like old age to me. But I want to tell you, in February 1965, I joined Paul and I committed my soul to Jesus Christ for salvation and for keeping me. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. God is able to save us, and I'm happy to tell you that God is able to keep us. Oh, and by the way, Jude 24 is another one that's not a made point. Jude 24 says this, "Now unto him," that's the Lord, another benediction, "that is able to keep you from falling," that means to stumble, "and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." I'm glad God will keep me from stumbling. Amen. He's able to do it. Able to save. Able to keep me from stumbling. Oh, there's another one. Go to the book of Daniel. Oh, I love this part. We'll camp here a little bit. Old Testament, I think you know that. You can find Isaiah and go to Jeremiah and Lamentations and find Mr. Ezekiel. And then I believe the next one's Daniel. When you get there, wait on me. Daniel chapter 3. We'll look at two passages in here. And you say, Brother Rigsby, what's the next able? Able to deliver us. Amen. Able to deliver us. Daniel chapter 3. And look in verse 15 with me, please. You know the story. You know the story. The three Hebrew children, Daniel. By the way, we got some young people in here. Listen to me, young people. These young men could have gone ahead and sinned. They could have said, you know, Mom and Dad aren't here. They could have said, oh, let's just do it one time. That won't hurt. Or nobody's looking. Thank God they took a stand. You remember Nebuchadnezzar built a 90-foot high idol, all of gold. He'd make some money on the stock market today, wouldn't he? And they were to bow down. If they weren't going to bow down, they were going into a fiery furnace. You know the story. Look at verse 17. They're speaking, these young men, teenagers who took a stand. They're speaking, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. What a statement. What a statement. Now hang on a minute. I know what some of you are thinking. I know what an unsaved man would say to me. Well, what if God didn't? And he can. He's able to. Amen. But what if God doesn't do that? I accept it as God's will, and I'm still going to serve him. Amen. How'd you get that, Brother Rigsby? Read the next verse. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. My God is able to deliver me, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that's in us, able to save, able to keep us from stumbling, able to deliver us. We're not done in Daniel. Go over about three chapters. Another wonderful story. You believe all that stuff, Brother? Yeah, I do. Just by faith, I believe it. It's God's word. Amen. You remember this story? They got jealous. Dr. Norris used to say, if you want people to be jealous of you, know more, do more, and have more. That'll bring about jealousy. And you know Daniel, about secondhand man here. Amen. Second in command. And they devised a way that, boy, you know, if we catch him praying again, you know, Daniel just went on with his life. Amen. Just kept praying. And so there's something called a lion's den that he's going to be tossed into, and he is tossed into it. And look at verse 16, Daniel chapter 6. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now that's different than a lion's den. I'd go in a lion's den. You understand what I'm saying? I wouldn't go in a den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Isn't that something, Darius? I don't know if he's saved or not. He sure acts like it in some ways. He knew enough about preaching. They had such a testimony. He tells Daniel, God's going to deliver you, man. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. That's interesting. Here's a man fasting. I almost think he's saved, amen? He couldn't sleep. I mean, the man that put the decree out, he couldn't sleep. I kind of use my imagination a little bit. I'm kind of weird. You all know that. I can see Daniel down there. He got him a stuffed toy. He got his head on a big old fat lion's belly, and he just sleeping good. And it's probably hot down in the pit. I can just see that lion's tail fanning him. God's good. Then the king arose, verse 19, very early in the morning, and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Well, he gets a real quick answer. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Boy, he still respected the authority, by the way, whether he agreed with it or not. Amen. Next time the highway patrol gets you, you remember that. And then look at verse 22. My God, God is what? Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lion's mouth, that there have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Praise the Lord. Able to save, able to keep us from stumbling, able to deliver us. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 4. We're almost done. Hang on. I know I'm known for quick messages. Romans chapter 4. I got another great thing our God's able to do. What else is God able to do? Chapter 4, I believe it is verse 20 and 21. This is talking about Abraham. By the way, we're justified by faith. That's the great theme here. Amen. He's talking about Abraham. Beginning of verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What a man Abraham was. And being fully persuaded that what he had performed, promised rather, as God had promised, he was what? Able also to perform it. You know, I'm happy to tell you tonight, guys, God's able to keep his promises. I've made promises sometimes and didn't keep them. That's not good. I've had people promise me things and didn't keep them. But can I tell you, a great God is able to keep his promises? Some of you have a little book called The Promises of God. It's a little devotional. 365 days, a promise from God. Some are conditional, some are not conditional. I am the Lord. I'll not forsake thee. The immutability of Christ, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a promise. Can I tell you one of the lies that Satan gives us is that God doesn't care? Oh, can I tell you God cares? Can I tell you he has his promise that he never leave us or forsake us? We have a wonderful God. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, let's close it up. God's able. Let's ask some people. In the Bible, Moses, is God able? God's able. Noah, is God able? God's able. Joshua, walls come down, flat, no fighting in there. Is God able? God's able. Gideon, 300 against a great group of enemy. Abel, talk to all the Old Testament prophets. Abel, God's able. When I got saved, I was given two books, and thank God for people that cared enough for me. One book was Fox's Book of Martyrs. They told me when they gave it to me, you can't read it in one setting, and you cannot. If you don't have that in your library, get away from as the world churns and do some reading. The other book they gave me was, I was encouraged to start reading about great pioneer missionaries and great men of the faith. It was a biography of George Mueller. George Mueller, Bristol, England. Orphanages back in the 1850s. If you read his biography, he was a rascal early on. He lied and stole and cheated, robbed from his own dad, drank, went to Bible college and drank, did all kinds of things. I don't think he made it in Pensacola. He was a rascal. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something. God was able to save him. And he began serving God, and he walked up down the streets of England, and he saw these orphan kids. And God put it in his heart. By the way, Rob, I'll talk more about you in a minute. God will put it in your heart before he puts it in your hand. And they say he started with 50 cents. 50 cents. And over 30 years, there were $7 million that came in for those orphanages. He never asked a man ever for anything. except the one that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. One of the neat things he did, when one of the children would get old enough to go out on their own, he would take a Bible and put the Bible in his right hand of the person, and he'd put a coin in the left hand. And he'd say to him, if you take care of what's in that right hand, God will always see you have something in your left hand. God is able to do it. Worth Baptist Church, 58 and a half years ago. Oh, you think anybody saw where we'd be today, and I'm bragging on God? 140-some missionaries, people being saved, people being sent out. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. I think of the Abiram Mission Agency started out. Brother Ralph McCoy read a little bit of that biography today. Who would have thought it? Who'd have thunk it, do we say sometimes? Rob, let me say to you, many of you may not know, but Rob and Gail are going to go back to Missouri, back to their home place. That's difficult to do sometimes, amen? And start a church to reach people. And Rob, can I say to you, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Let me challenge you, Rob, to remember that as you go on. Let's stand to our feet, please, with our heads bowed.